your name, Lord. Glory to your name. Thank you, Father. God is good. Amen. All the time. Every good gift and every perfect gift comes from Him. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. I think my 2-year-old daughter is part Russian. She's learning how to talk. Her words are really coming, and most of them, 99% of them, are English. But when we ask her if she wants something, she says, "Da." Do you want water? Da. Do you need to go to the bathroom? Da. Do you want this? Da, da. Yes, da. You trying to say yes? Da. So, yeah, I don't know what's going on there. But we have get a tutor. Yeah. Or have her take Russian. She's already in there. Praise God. It's good to be in the house of the Lord, isn't it?
Amen.
God is good. Tonight we are going to continue talking about kingdom giving and prosperity. And we're going to be in Luke chapter 12 and verse 13. And there is a mentality that God wants us to have when it comes to finances. As believers, as kingdom citizens, the way we approach finances, the way we approach giving, should not be the same way the world approaches giving, should not be the same way the world approaches finances. And God has a lot to say about money. He has a lot to say about the things that pertain to money, the things that pertain to finances. So it's good to get a kingdom education, a kingdom mindset on money, and then within that, giving, and what that looks like, and what that means for you as a believer and as a kingdom citizen. So Luke chapter 12, verse 13, someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the family inheritance with me." But he said to him, "Man, who appointed me a judge or arbitrator over you?" Then he said to them, "Beware and be on your guard against every form of greed." God does not want us to be greedy. "For not even when one has an abundance does his life consist of his possessions." It doesn't matter how much you have, you are never defined by the things you have, by the things you own. You are never defined by your possessions, good or bad. "Well, I don't like my clothes. And because I don't have nice clothes, therefore I'm a nobody." No, you are not defined by your clothes. "Well, I don't have any jewelry. So because I don't have any jewelry, I'm a nobody." You are not defined by jewelry. "Well, I've got a nice car. And because I've got a nice car, I'm somebody." No, good or bad, you are not defined by your possessions. You are not defined by what you own. You should never find your identity in the things that you have. And the things that you have should never have you. You should have them. And you should always be able to hold them loosely in your hand. So if God says give, you can give. If God says bless, you can bless. If God says sow, you can sow. Because it doesn't have you. You have it. So we are not defined by our possessions. We are not defined by things. We are not defined by money. And then he told them a parable saying, the land of a rich man was very productive. And he began reasoning to himself, what should I do here? I've been blessed. I'm prospering. My land is very productive. My investments have really paid off. Abundance is flowing. Prosperity is flowing. What should I do? Since I've got no more room to put anything else, I've filled up every bank account. I've filled up my barns. I've got nowhere else to put the overflow, nowhere else to put the abundance. What shall I do? My family, my four and no more are taken care of. They've got more than enough. My mom and my dad, cousins, aunts, and uncles, they're taken care of. What shall I do? I know. I'll be a blessing. I'll help people. I'll give. I'll build ministries. I'll help ministries get built. I'll give to the poor. I'll give to charity. Was that his mindset? Nope. He said, this is what I will do. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones, get bigger barns. And there I will store all of my grain and my goods. So Damon said it, he had a me mentality. He was not thinking about anyone else but himself. He was not thinking about God. He was not thinking about the things of God. He was focused on himself and making sure that he was taken care of. He had a hoarder's mentality. He had no outlet for the abundance. That's why if you're going to receive the abundance and be a receiver of God's prosperity, you have to have a mind to be a giver. You have to have a mind to be a blesser because you're blessed to be a blessing. You have to be an outlet, a reservoir of God's overflow, of God's abundance. And it starts small. If you won't give a dollar now, you won't give $100 then. If you won't give $100 now, you won't give $1,000 then. And God knows that. God knows who he can trust with the abundance. He knows who he can trust with the overflow. And so you can't have a hoarder's mentality when it comes to money. If I don't hoard it, then it might run out. So I have to stack as much as I can. That's a hoarder's mentality. Because you're afraid there won't be any more. So I have to stock it all up. And so it can't flow through you. When the blessing comes, it stops with you. Because you take it, you sit on it, you hoard it, and you build larger barns to contain it because it's not going anywhere. We want to be a conduit of God's blessings. We want to be a conduit of God's overflow, that it comes through us. And when that blessing comes, part of it is to eat, and part of it is to sow. Part of it is for you, and part of it is for the kingdom, to sow, to be a blessing, to sow again, and when you sow, you reap, and then more comes. But if it stops with you, and you have a hoarder's mentality, outside of grace and mercy, you're going to have a hard time seeing that abundance and overflow continuing to come. So we have to be a reservoir of God's abundance. God has called us to be a reservoir of God's abundance. When you receive your first million, can God trust you to do what he says concerning that thing? Or will you say, I got mine? This ain't going nowhere but what I want to do. That's a hoarder's mentality. And if it happens with $10 now, it won't matter how much money you ever have. It will continue to happen because it's a habit. It's a lifestyle. I need this to take care of me, because if I don't have it, I'll be lost. So he says, I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years to come. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, you fool, this very night your soul is required of you. And now, who will own what you have prepared? So is the man who stores up treasure for himself, me, but is not rich towards God. God has not called us to store up treasure for ourselves, but to be rich towards him. What does it look like to be rich towards God? You do what he tells you to do with it. You give where he tells you to give. You sow where he tells you to sow. You listen to God and you say, God, here am I. Here it is. What do you want done with it? And there are some things he's already said to do with it. We know we return the tithe. If you won't return the tithe on a dollar, you won't return the tithe on $10,000. Well, Brian, I'm believing God for $10,000. You might struggle in that area because he knows that when the 10,000 comes, you're not going to honor him. You're not going to be rich towards him. So some areas he's told us what to do. You return the tithe. He that won't take care of his own family can't take care of the household of God. So we know some of it is to take care of you and your family. And then we know some of it, God's going to direct us to give by the leading of the Holy Spirit and give where God tells you to give. He may tell you to save some. He may tell you to invest some. He may tell you to give to charity. He may tell you to help this ministry. But as long as your heart's open and you're listening to God saying, God, what do you want me to do with this money? You're being rich towards him. And it starts with the small things. He who is faithful in the few things will be made ruler over much. So if I'm faithful with the small dollars, then I can be a ruler over many dollars. So we don't want to be hoarders. We want to be rich towards God. And he said to his disciples, for this reason I say to you, do not worry about your life. What do you mean about your life? What you will eat? How many of y'all like to eat? I like to eat. What you will eat, nor about your body, as to what you will put on, your clothing. For life is more than food, and the body is more than clothing. If you're worked up about clothes, and you're worked up about food, to life than that. If you're living for food, if you're living for clothing, then you have a rather reserved life, because there's so much more that God has for you, and that's little stuff that God can take care of. So he says, do not worry about your life. When you have a hoarder's mentality, you'll be worried. Are my barns big enough? Do I have enough? Is enough put away? A hoarder's mentality worries about whether or not it has enough to get by. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothing. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap. They have no storeroom or barn, and yet God feeds them. How much more valuable You're valuable to God. And how much more valuable are than the birds? If God takes care of the birds, he can take. And which of you by worrying can add a single hour to his lifespan? He says worrying does no good. Worrying will not produce anything productive, positive, godly life in your life. If then you cannot do even a very little thing, why do you worry about other matters? If you can't clothe yourself, and God's the one that clothes you, and you can't feed yourself, God's the one who's really feeding you, why are you worried about other material matters? God has set a precedent. I'm the one who takes care of you. Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. They don't have a skill. Nothing they can put their hands to. Nothing they can do. Brian, what do I do if I'm out of work for a while? Now, if you're capable, you should be doing something. But what happens if I'm out of work for a while? Consider the lilies. They don't toil. They don't spin. It means they don't have a job. They don't work. But I tell you, not even Solomon in all his glory clothed himself like one of these. Brian, what if I get laid off? What if I get fired? What if I retire? And I don't have that toiling and spinning that I was doing for 40 years. What do I do? Consider the lilies. They neither toil nor spin or work a job, and yet your heavenly Father clothes them even better than Solomon. Why is it possible for people to prosper even in the midst of famine? Because God takes care of them. Why is it possible for people to make more in retirement than they did working? Because God takes care of them. All things are possible to them that believes. If you get laid off, if you retire, if you're unable to work for a period of time, trust God. If you're having trouble finding work, continue to look, but trust God to take care of you. Well, Brian, where is it coming from? I don't know. What vessel is it coming through? I don't know. But God has people that you don't know about. He has vessels that you don't know about. But if God so clothes the grass in the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, how much more will he clothe you? It's an issue of faith. You have little faith. Trust God. And do not seek what you will eat and what you will drink, and do not keep worrying. If you do anything else, do not keep worrying, because it does not do any good. Be anxious for nothing, but give it over to God. And do not keep worrying, for all these things the nations of the world eagerly seek these things. They are pursuing these things. They are going after these things. Your Father knows that you need them. He knows what you need. He's well aware of your needs. He knows you need them. He didn't say you don't need them. He said you need them, but he knows you need them. But how do you get them? You don't get them by seeking them. Seek his kingdom. And these things, what things? These material things. The context, the spirit of this passage is not just clothes and food, but it's material things. That's the heartbeat of this passage. These things will be added unto you. What things? The things that you need. He says, do not be afraid, little flock. Now, usually when somebody says, do not be afraid, they're about to give you a reason not to be afraid. If I tell my little girl, don't be afraid, she knows that daddy's going to say after that, I got you. I'm not going to let you fall. I'm going to take care of you. So then because I've got your back, you don't need to be afraid. So he's about to give us a reason not to be afraid. Do not be afraid, little flock. Why? For your father, your caregiver, has chosen gladly. He's excited about this. Gladly to give you the kingdom. Now, what does the kingdom have to do with the topic that we've been on? Isn't the kingdom somewhere out there in the ether? The kingdom is very relevant to here and now. It's very relevant to the things that you go through. The kingdom that you are a member of, that you are a citizen of, covers you in every area, not just spiritual areas. The kingdom covers you in every area. And your father, your caregiver, aren't you glad you have a caregiver? What does a caregiver do? Takes care of those in their charge. Be imitators of God, little children. You are, approach God like a child. You are my caregiver. Do not be afraid. Why? Because you've got the kingdom. And you can seek the kingdom, and these things will be added unto you. So you can have a focus in the right place. The kingdom takes care of everything. When you allow the kingdom of God to take care of your needs, you don't have to worry about having a divided heart. Because I'm trying to seek things, but I'm trying to be rich towards God too. You can focus on the call of God, focus on what God has told you to do, be rich towards Him, because these things will be added to you. He says, because of this, you can give without fear. Why do people not give most of the time and hoard? Fear. I might need this later. Sell your possessions and give to charity. Why can you sell your possessions, take that money, and then give to charity? Because the kingdom of God has your back. You no longer have to fear because you've got a kingdom that you're a part of. He ties giving you the kingdom to these material needs. Isn't that the context of what we're reading? Sell your possessions and give to charity. Listen to this. Make yourselves money belts that never wear out. Make yourself money belts that are always full. Brian, how can I always have a full wallet? Be rich towards God. Store up things in the kingdom. The kingdom is your offshore account. What is an offshore account? It is a bank located in a jurisdiction different from where its depositors reside. An offshore bank is a bank located in a jurisdiction different from where its depositors reside. Are you making deposits in your offshore account that no one can touch? There is more than enough in your offshore account. Money belts that don't wear out. Wallets that always have something in them. And you can make a withdrawal on your offshore account whenever you need it. Have money wired from that location to where you are. The kingdom is your offshore account. He knows when you need it and how to get it to you. So you can give with confidence. Your offshore account is insured, greater than the FDIC. It is insured. You have a guarantee, you have a promise that your offshore account is full. You have money belts that never wear out. So you don't have to fear. You don't have to hoard because you have an offshore account that you've been storing up treasures in. You can make a deposit in this life because you don't need clothes and food there. You need it here. You need material things down here. So make deposits in your offshore account and know that you've got a money belt, a vessel that never wears out in the kingdom. It never wears out because it's an unshakable kingdom. It cannot be shaken. Thieves cannot come in and steal. Moths cannot come in and eat. It's an unshakable kingdom. So he says, sell your possessions and give to charity. Make yourselves money belts which do not wear out. There's always more than enough. The money belts do not wear out. The supply never, ever dries up. You always have that offshore account. An unfailing treasure in heaven. Yes, it's there, but that's where I put my deposit. I reside for now here on the earth. And I put a demand on my kingdom account, my offshore account, to cover this need, to cover this wardrobe, to cover this food, this meal, this eating out, to cover this bill, to cover anything that comes my way. I make a demand, I make a withdrawal by faith on my account, knowing that God, my caregiver, my Father, takes care of me. An unfailing treasure in heaven where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. If your treasure is in your kingdom account, then you don't have to worry about having a divided heart. If you've stored up your treasure here on earth and you value earthly things more than kingdom things, then you've got a problem. If you have a hoarder's mentality because you believe no more is coming. Now, God isn't saying be reckless with your money. And he's not saying to arbitrarily give and sell everything you have. He is saying that when he calls, when he prompts, as you're led by the Spirit, be ready to give. Be ready to be rich towards God. So there is a certain mindset that we have to have when it comes to money. We've gone through three different times of teaching with you, once in October, once last month, and then this month. I don't know if God will give me anything else in this area, but this is what he's given me. There's a certain mindset we have to have concerning money and handling money the way God wants us to and viewing it in a healthy kingdom way. The point is, money is not our source. God is our source. Is money a good thing? Yes. Are riches a good thing? Yes. Is gold a good thing? Yes. God created the gold. The picture we get in Revelation of the new city Jerusalem is majestic. It's beautiful. It's full of riches. Gold, pearls. So the abundance, the overflow, the riches, it's a good thing. But it's good as long as it continues to flow. If it stops with you because you hoard it up, you build it up, and you've got to the point where everything you need for kingdom purpose is taken care of, and you're still not thinking about how you can bless someone else, then you become a dam. And God doesn't want vessels that are damned. He wants vessels that he can flow through, that he can use the abundance and the overflow to flow through. God does not want the abundance, the harvest, to stop when it gets in your hands. Are you a dammer, or are you a conduit of God's blessing and overflow? When God blessed Abraham, he said, "And you shall be a blessing. I will make your name great, and others shall be blessed through you." It's not enough for your name to be great only. It's not enough for you to be rich only. It's not enough to have your needs taken care of only. That's a good thing. But then, are you going to the next level of, "I'm blessed to be now a blessing because my stuff is taken care of. I'm not going to seek to build more barns because I know more is coming. I can give what I have away if God tells me to. I can give as a spirit of, I don't have to be afraid when the offering bucket comes by. If I'm listening to God and doing what the Spirit says to do at that moment, I don't have to be afraid because there's more coming. I've got an uncountable amount in my offshore account." Amen? Amen. Praise God. Well, that is the word for this evening. Do you have anything, Brother Richard, or we?
Yeah.
Okay. Brother Richard is coming.
Praise God. Good word. The word of God is always good. So the baguettes would be good. But Brother Brian brought some truth tonight. He always does. So you know the routine. We've got a bucket up here that we're not going to muzzle the ox. I'm not calling Brian an ox, I promise. But he has given spiritual things. We return to him with material things. So get prepared to do that. Stand with us. Let's praise the Lord for just a minute. Hallelujah. Praise you, Father. We thank you, Father, for the word that we have heard tonight. We thank you for your anointing that and your spirit that leads us and guides us in truth and reveals to us your heart, Father God. We celebrate and rejoice in all that you have done. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, for your blessings. Thank you that you continually lavish on us daily your blessings, your mercy, your grace. And Father, we just thank you. We thank you. Hallelujah to the Lord. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise you, Father God. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. We rejoice in you. Always we rejoice in you, mighty God. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name. Now, Father God, we celebrate and rejoice in our pastors, Pastor Jim and Sister Lou. We thank you, Father, for life, for abundance, for health, for peace, for joy. Father God, for divine healing, for new heart, new organs. Father God, we celebrate and rejoice that it is done. And you said that if we could celebrate it, we could possess it, Father God. So we choose to celebrate divine healing, divine life, and the Holy Spirit that raised our Redeemer from the dead flowing in their bodies, causing them to be alive, causing them to be refreshed, causing them to be all infirmity and sickness cast out of their bodies. And Father God, we celebrate and rejoice in their abundance of living, Father God. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Glory to your name. Glory to your name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I don't know if all of you know this, but our brother Rudy Garza has kind of been under attack for a little bit lately. He's been in the hospital. They've had some bizarre things going on, but right now he's had a couple of surgeries. I'm not going to say a whole lot about it, but just lift him up in prayer and celebrate his healing. He has heard a word from the Lord that he will live and not die, and he will declare the glory of the Lord. So he has that mentality and that attitude. But, you know, sometimes when things just keep coming, need a little encouragement. Right now he's in ICU in North Austin Medical Center after emergency surgery yesterday, but he's hanging in there. So we just keep celebrating for him as well, that divine health and divine life manifested in his body. Amen. Praise God. Well, Sunday's going to be a great day. We're going to have some good singing and praising and shouting and worshiping, and somebody is going to be teaching the word. I just know it. Somebody. I don't know who, but somebody is. But we call you blessed. The Lord's face shine on you, and he leads you and guides you in all your ways, and you are blessed because of his hand in your life. Amen. Go with God. You are blessed.